Father, I bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're doing a series on prophetic ministry, and my good friend Bill has been teaching us some awesome things. So, Bill, if you would...
Can I share something first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to share one thing. The Lord showed me today, we were in some spiritual warfare today. And the enemy was trying to mess with us, making us feel depressed or sad and just different things. And the Lord showed me, you know, the word says that I am more than a conqueror, that I am a conqueror. And I realized the enemy is trying to conquer me right now. No, he's got it backwards. I am the conqueror. Like, God
That's
has
right.
given me the power and authority. Like, I am the conqueror.
Yes.
And the enemy cannot conquer me. And he's trying to take my territory. He's trying to take my joy or whatever in our house. And he's got it backwards. I take territory from him. I go out and I conquer him. He doesn't conquer me. So I just want to pray encouragement for everybody right now. In Jesus' name, I come against any discouragement. I command it to get off of everyone right now in Jesus' name. Any discouragement, sadness, or depression, you get out of here. We conquer you. God has given us power and authority over you, and you do not mess with us. So you flee. The word says, I resist you, and you flee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to turn the floor over to Bill. Bill?
Thanks.
Yep.
I'm gonna go outfitting with you, Dave, one of these days, I'm telling you. I mean, I like the boots you got, man. I gotta get that out.
I was working in a paint factory and there was an explosion.
I love it. That's my man Dave over there. Janice.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Hi. When we were over there and you started to talk, I saw you writing.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a creative writing skills?
Maybe.
Have you ever written?
Emails.
But inside of you, what you don't know inside of you, the Lord's going to start opening up some creative writing.
I'll receive that.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to do it. He's just going to come along. And what's going to happen is part of the creative writing he's going to do is you're going to be sitting there and the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and you're going to start writing the things that the Lord is I see another part of this. You're going to start writing. The Lord, Holy Ghost is going to say, write this. And he's just going to interrupt you. And then when you start writing it, your jaw's going to drop because you're going to hardly believe that what you're writing, he's giving you.
Sweet.
And eventually he's going to use it. So whatever you write, keep.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, will do.
Good.
Will do.
Cool. Oh, let me see how I can do this. This has nothing to do with tonight. Atmosphere. One of the things the Lord's doing at... this is the strangest thing in the world. Where's Rod Serling when you need him? One of the things the Lord's doing at Hope Chapel is creating an atmosphere for miracles. He's creating a condition that here that really is in line with the first century. And a lot of that will be being made aware as time goes by. But whenever you're doing anything according to the word, you get the benefits of the word. You can't miss. And so part of that is the Lord's setting this up. But there's a lot more than just this word miracles. This is one of the greatest miracles that you're ever going to discover about your life. And because sometimes we get, you know, I'm a sign and wonder guy. I've been doing that for 30 years. But one of the things that's going to be more miraculous than the signs and wonders that you're going to see God do in these next years is you're going to watch how he transforms you without your help. Because one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to conform you to the image of the Son. You can find that in Romans chapter 8. And that's his job, is to conform us to the image of the Son. And the more we go along and the more we just receive the divine plan of God in our lives, we begin to look in the mirror, and then all of a sudden, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3, I think it's 17, it says we're transformed into the image of God just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what he's doing is he's making us more like the Son. That goes for women too. He's making us more like the Son for one reason. I was talking to one of my prophet friends tonight, because God's kind of doing with him what he's doing here. And one of the things that I said to him is, I said, how rich is it when we get to a place where we can actually experience what the Son experienced with the Father in relationship? And I never thought in a billion years that would work for me. But it has. And it'll work for you too. And so it's important to realize how much your Father loves you in heaven. And the more that you ask him to communicate his nature to you. See, that's the cat's meow. Is understanding the nature of God. Because in understanding the nature of God and the fullness of the nature of God, you understand you. Because what happens is when the glory comes, the heart of God comes with the glory. See, even in the manifestation of signs and wonders, it's still the glory of God. The glory of God is the nature of God. The nature of God is the heart of God. That happens in every demonstration and manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. That happens when your life becomes transformed. Why? Because everything points upward to what? To glorify God. And so the more we start thinking as Christians about glorifying God and being the glory of God, the richer we become. Seed reproduces after its own kind. That's Genesis 1:12. So the more that we believe, the more we believe, the more...
Or S-E-E-D.
What?
That word.
Seed.
Seed. What is this, a writing class? My lovely wife, Kathy, who's been given to me for God to keep me in line. Seed reproduces after its own kind. So when we plant corn, we don't plant tomatoes with corn. And one of the things that I sense that God's going to start doing more and more is we grow quicker and we grow more mature, so will corn when it's all corn. And so the more that you believe in what God did and what he says in his word, the more we get to see what he says. Can I say that again? The more we believe in what God says in his word, the more we get to see what he says. John 11:40. All right, we're talking about prophetic ministry. Any questions on anything so far we've talked about? Okay. We're talking about incoming and outgoing. What we get from God, and I especially want to talk to people that are either in prayer ministry teams, or I'll list a couple categories. If there's people here, how many people here are on the ministry prayer team at Hope? Raise your hand. How many are on another church that you're on a prayer ministry team? Okay, good. All right, this is partly for you. How many people have actually spoken over people in their life and said something to them? All right, here goes all the hands. How many have ever received a word that's thus saith the Lord? Okay, we're good. So we're gonna try to deal with all three of those and maybe just try to point out some stuff that might help you in either being on a prayer team or receiving a word or giving a word, because that's what we want. Prophetic means you speak for God. It's that simple. Prophetic means you speak for God. Well, to speak for God, you got to hear from God. And last week we talked about the ways that we hear from God. Now we learn how to speak for God. And I would like to say this is the easiest thing in the world to learn, but it really isn't, because it does involve time, number one. And number two, it involves your relationship and communication with the Holy Ghost. You really can't speak for God without having a built-in relationship with the Holy Spirit and understanding how the Holy Spirit works in you according to the Word. And then number two, how the Holy Spirit works in you according to you. Because the Holy Spirit is very unique. He's got a personal catering service. He caters to each individual as to what? As to the way they are what? Created. So the Holy Spirit knows more about you than you know about you. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit knows more about you than you know about you. And the Holy Spirit will spend your entire life getting you to discover what He's created. That's when it becomes really fun. And see, the more you get your eyes off of how miserable life is for you, which is not a condition that any Christian should be in, by the way. The only reason our life is miserable is A, because of our unbelief, and B, we don't know what God says about us. Because what He says about us is far too rich to be miserable. So usually what I find with people that are miserable is they don't know the Word. And they want somebody, angels. And they, thanks, Dave. And they want, turn that off or you're going to turn into a pumpkin. Then you're really going to look wild. He's out of hand, I can't help him. So what happens is that if you understand how God views you and get a full view of how God views you, you really should be the happiest people on earth. See, God never created you to be that way. God never created us to be miserable, even in the midst of warfare. And so what's happened to a lot of people that I've run into, and I've run into a lot of people in my life, is a lot of people are miserable, and there's a lot of reasons that they're miserable. Sometimes it's hearing they do not hear and seeing they do not see. And that becomes very difficult to help. Other times is they like their misery. Now, this wasn't on my plate tonight, but if it fits, say amen, say amen or ouch, one of them will fit you. And that's hard, because sometimes it is kind of sick to be miserable. We kind of get institutionalized in misery, but not for a Christian. And it doesn't have anything to do with outward experience. It has to do with the inward heart. We can see this in Paul when he's in prison, he's praising God. We can see that the Word says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, speaking of Jesus. We can see in James how it says, though we go through various trials, that those trials are actually a benefit to make us perfect, lacking in nothing. Now, who would ever think that adversity would make us perfect, lacking in nothing? God says it does. That's all of that. Okay, what do I do with what I'm receiving? Sometimes, and one of the things that I talked about the prophetic, especially when God is formulating something in you to say, or getting your attention, are you all with me? Or trying to get your attention so He wants to say something to you, And then he wants to train you on what he's saying to you. Do I release it? Is it for me? Right? Come on, we all have that. Is this God or is this me? And we talked a little bit, I think, last week when I used the term out of the blue. Maybe that's why he called the sky blue, because it's coming from heaven. Out of the blue means your thought processes get interrupted. Why am I thinking what I'm thinking? Maybe you're sitting in a coffee shop and all of a sudden you look across the room and you see a person and you hear cancer. Well, is that me or is that God? Well, most likely if you investigate all the times that you've ever gone to a coffee shop and the word cancer's come to you, it's probably zero and none. So I go, okay, Lord, then who am I, when I hear that, am I going to get into myself or am I going to get into that relationship with the Holy Spirit to sit there and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? So I have something in my head that knows that what I'm hearing is from God. Now, in this migration of starting out just like everybody else going, is this from God or is this from me? Because I went through that. I went through it where I chickened out on about 1,000 words he gave me in the beginning. I was too afraid to give them. But in this migration now that God's taken me in this journey in the prophetic for my ministry function, now it's almost automatic because I've done it 10, 15,000, 20,000 times. So after a while, it becomes much more easy when you're in a relationship with somebody and you get to know that relationship that I have with the Holy Spirit, that we work in tandem and together. And I know it's a lot easier for me today to pick up what I couldn't pick up 20 years ago. So what we're not looking for in the beginning, because God obviously wants you to be prophetic, when I use the word prophetic, don't misinterpret it as prophet, because the two are completely different. But that each one of you, when I use the word prophetic, means you're a representative of God, and as a representative and ambassador for Jesus Christ, you represent him not only in your actions, but in what he tells you to speak. Are you all there? Okay. So when I get a word, I have to sit there and think, okay, why am I thinking this? Now, some of you, the manifestation of this is going to happen this week, so get ready for it, because the Holy Spirit is going to pump this out this week to you. I just got that. So listen up, because you're going to get tested in this week. And you can testify to it next week. So what do I do with this word? Okay, why are you telling me that person have cancer? Okay. How am I going to know?
Ask him.
Why? They're not holding up a sign saying that's me. Now, what happens when you start to move from a natural setting into a supernatural setting? You're obviously starting to have a little bit of an out-of-body experience. Because it's so been so used to you to be natural, now you're going to go, oh, what if I'm wrong? Raise your hand. What if I'm wrong? That's all of you. Come on. I know. That never works. Raise your hand. That never works. So what we have to do is we have to trust the Holy Spirit, and we have to understand how the Holy Spirit is communicating to us, because there's no other way to do it. And that's your first step. Your first step is to say, okay, Holy Spirit, teach me. Why are we so afraid of one of the three masters of the universe being our personal coach? He's really good at it. Now, Neil's a teacher. He's anointed by God to be a teacher. Neil falls way short of God, Holy Ghost, in teaching. I have a ministry gift of a prophet. He's a much better prophet than I am. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? So make sure that even though we teach and even though you have the five ministry gifts in operation in this church, that the person that's most important to you is the Holy Ghost. I could just say that all day and tonight and do nothing else, and you would have gotten the best part of the message. Sometimes you will know when God speaks to you immediately what you should do. And when you don't know what to do, it's not a weakness of your walk to wait upon the Lord until you know what to do. And if you then when you know what to do, then you're going to learn how to do it and when to do it. Are you with me? Yes? Okay. Sometimes you will have to wait for more clarity. Sometimes the Lord will give you a word to see what you're doing. You see, we have a deal here. Okay. All right, so we have this over here. I'm going to give him a frown because something's wrong maybe. And we're over here because why? We're Christians and we are the happiest people in the world. That's your condition 24/7. Let me say it again. That should be your condition 24/7. And if it isn't, it doesn't mean we don't get angry. It doesn't mean our flesh doesn't act up. It doesn't mean we don't scream at our wives. It doesn't mean that. But the ongoing condition of something is just joyous. Because we are the cat's meow when it comes to God. We're going to spend eternity with Him. There's all sorts of stuff that if you get a hold of all this, it'll just knock your socks right off. Okay. And I need to go maybe over there to find out. Am I going to? Can God sit here and go, cancer, and shut up? Absolutely. Because sometimes what He has to do is, and you can make fleeces. You can say, well, Lord, if that's you, have the person turn green. And we are out to put like a fleece out. But if you put a fleece out and the dew is right, and the then you got to go ahead with the fleece. I'll give you an example. I was at Bible school, and I had just gotten to Bible school. I was headed for a vice presidency of one of the largest roofing companies in the country, and God just shut me down and sent me back to Bible school. And I was 43 at the time. And most of the kids were 17, and it was a kind of Bible school where they had chapel, and every day you had to have chapel every day from 11 to 12, and everything was very rigid in the chapel service. This is what we do. We do our worship, and then the message comes, and we walk out the door. So I'm sitting there, and it's only about a week and a half into the Bible school, and I'm sitting there in the front row, and the Holy Ghost said to me, there's a lot of people here that have neck injuries, and I want to heal them today. And I kind of said to him, that's not going to go over well with the people here. He says, I know that. But I want you to get up and do that. So I kind of did my Monty Hall, let's make a deal with him. And I turned around to him and I went like this. I said, well, if it's you, and of course all the big wigs are up at the stage, you know, all the dean and the teachers, you know, they all look like they haven't read the word to know how joyous life can really be. And they're all up there and the music's going on. And so I said, fine, freeze them so they can't move. And if you freeze them so they can't move and they'll shut up and they won't do anything to me, I'll stand up and do it. I didn't hear fine. So the worship starts the end, and the dean starts walking up to the pulpit like this, and he stops here like this, and he goes like this, and he puts his arms out, and he freezes. And the other 8 or 9 teachers in the back row are all like this, and they can't move, and they're all frozen. And I hear, you're on. So I stood up and I prayed the prayer of faith, and I said, "Lord, heal these necks." And the one of the teachers immediately, who had almost a neck condition, just her head just almost spun around because she was so free in her neck. And a lot of people got healed in the room that night. So in that chapel service and after chapel's lunch. So I went to lunch, and I'm sitting there at lunch, and I'm sitting eating alone. And one of the teachers from the dark side, not all of them were Holy Ghost people, came up to me and said, "Well, you know, we normally don't do that in chapel until we hear from the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Son of a gun, that's exactly what happened to me. I heard from the Holy Ghost." And I said, "Didn't you see what he did? He froze all those people." And that didn't go over too well. So anyway, part of the thing he wants to do, and this is what you've got to learn, is sometimes he'll show you the person turning green. But other times, he's got to get you to exercise your trust in him. He's got to exercise the part that you are really hearing from God. So sometimes he kind of puts you out on the edge of the limb and lets you hear the wood cracking. And you think he's holding you back. No, he's guiding you as to how he knows you. Not me, not you, not you, you. So every one of us is a little bit tweaked differently. That's the way we're created. It's unique. So what God tries to do is he already knows how you're going to think before he prompts you. This guy's way ahead of us. He'll put prayers in you to pray because he's already sent the answer before you prayed it. And you think it's your prayer. Way ahead of us. Too unfathomable to understand, but he's way ahead of us. It's great to be in the hands of somebody that's way ahead of us. Other times, you may be sitting in the congregation and you see somebody go by, either up for prayer or something else, and, gee, I feel like I got a word for them. Well, not only is this instruction of what am I supposed to do here, but sometimes what the Lord will do, and this is where we were in the restaurant, but we're in church or something, and I could be sitting in this room, and all of a sudden I see somebody, which is a lot. See, I don't say everything I see. I can have 15 or 20 things go through my head tonight and you'll never know it. Because I've been trained by God as to what to do with them. Sometimes it will look like I'm supposed to pray for somebody. He goes, "No, if you pray for that person, you're wasting your time because they like their spot." So you have to know that. So sometimes when you're in a state, and we've already talked about that, you're going to learn this word. Wait. "But Bill, you don't understand. If I don't pray for that person, nothing might happen." Oh, really? I hope I'm not confusing you here. But there are times when the Lord will just give you information. Why? Maybe for now, maybe for later. I've carried words on people for up to a year and a half to 2 years. Lord would say something to me. So what do you want me to do with it? He said, "Nothing. Wait on it." 2 years later, bang. And usually he'll say, "I told you that word 2 years ago." Why? This is your friend. This is a guy that knows everything. This is a guy that wants to completely communicate with you and build that relationship with you as your best friend. Say it again. Best friend. My best friend's right back there in the natural. He's my best friend in the spiritual. Way my best friend in the spiritual. way my best friend in the natural. Sometimes it is the waiting, but it's also the timing. Lord, do you want me to release this now or do you want me to release it later? And that is really, as you start working with the Holy Spirit, you will begin to see that happen. Any questions so far? Yes.
Well, how do you know if it's now or later?
He'll tell you now or later, and that's the training. Like I said, he's going to run you through your own course, and so you're going to have to learn this as you go. Because he's going to let you know. Now, sometimes, like I said, you're going to have to do this all by yourself. Because he wants to put you in that place. That's how I started. But later, as he builds your faith of trust, I can remember when I started doing this, it felt like I had, he just gave me this picture. When I first started, I got a picture and I was out in the lake and I had to go over to the lake and I had to put my foot on the lake and I wanted to cross to the other side. I forgot all about this. He's showing me this now. And as I started to walk across the lake like this, I could hear the ice crack underneath my feet. Now, I could have stopped and gone back to the shore, but I didn't. That's the picture he gave me. And all he was saying was, uh-oh, it's all scary. Uh-oh, is the ice cracking under? Am I going through the ice? No. And then as I got halfway over, I realized that the sound of the cracking had nothing to do with the condition I was in. The sound of fear in your head has nothing to do with how you move. The sound of your own natural thoughts has nothing to do with how you move. And as I always said, when the Lord speaks to you, it's like this. D-O-U-B-T. The longer you start naturalizing it, the more doubt you'll have. And then as I got near the other side of past the halfway point of walking across the ice, I could hear, trust, 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 trust. Trust. And then by the last little bit, I was walking in peace because I knew that the reason I wasn't falling through was because of God and not myself. So the Lord will always make it, when a word comes, as he begins to develop you, he'll make it clear what you're supposed to do. Amen? Yeah, go ahead.
So I was coming home and traveling this week on business, and all of a sudden when I got off the phone from Bill, I heard the word, so-and-so's going to have a baby. And I knew that it was the desire of my friend to have a baby, but a few years ago when we were on vacation, her husband has sets of compulsive things, and he's overcoming that. She's now stopped working. Both of them are unemployed, and they haven't missed a bill or payment or anything since Thanksgiving,
and they haven't touched their savings account.
They haven't touched their savings account because they were obedient to the Lord. But I knew instinctively the Lord, I said, well, Lord, and I began to communicate as the Holy Spirit, because I'm learning out of the way. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit, that's wonderful, that's the desire of the heart. Should I call her? And he said, no. He said, she's excited, but she's in transition, and he's in transition, and she's going to know about it first, obviously, but the husband's not ready because of what God's doing in their life. So the process of learning to hear and wait, sometimes you'll mess it up, but that's all right, that's training. Other times you'll wait on the Lord, and I'm waiting till June to see what happens.
Yeah, and I've watched when I married Kathy after my first wife died, and she died during the period I was here in 1997, and I married Kathy, and Kathy had just gotten saved, and I've watched over the years how the Lord has developed her prophetic anointing. So now there's two of us loose in the home. You can imagine what that's like. And not every word that comes is from God. Amen. Okay, and a lot of things that we should understand here too is a lot of times it's not weak for you to go up to somebody when you feel like you're, and this is very important that you should understand this. When you go up to somebody and you believe you have something to say to them, get permission for them to pray for you, because they're giving you permission to do that. Now, if they say no, then turn around and walk away, even if you had a word. I was sitting in a restaurant with Ray when they had the old Chinese restaurant across from SAS back there. It was another guy that we knew at SAS that I used to hang out with, who got me in there so I could meet Neil. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden this lady was at another table, and the Lord just started giving me pictures of her going to Africa, and he started giving me all this stuff. So I had this list a mile long. Now, I knew, this wasn't that many years ago, and I know my prophetic anointing, and I know God was going to give her an edification and a confirmation about what he was going to do. So she got up from the table, and I said, "Madam, are you a Christian?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, the Lord has given me a word for you, and I'd like to give it to you." She goes, "Oh, no, I don't want anything to do with that." Because she was a Christian, but she was not a Christian that believed that the prophetic was still here for today. Now, does that mean that God isn't going to do what he gave me for her? Absolutely not. Yeah. See, it doesn't make any difference, and it's not a slight on you if somebody says no. "Well, I'm going to give it to him anyway." No. You're not. That's not good wisdom. Questions so far? Yes.
Okay, so thinking about that woman's position, she didn't know who you were.
Right.
So, you know, no offense, you could have been a cook or something. So how do we, because there's, you know, we don't want to accept a word from just anybody.
We're going to get to that. That's good. But we're going to cover that. And how do we receive words from other people? Amen? Really important. Yes?
Can you talk a little bit about dealing with fear of failure or fear of mistake?
Yeah, you can't be a failure. Now, let me say this so you understand this. You may have a mentality in your head that you've been a failure. And if you have that mentality, you've been duped by the enemy. And he's locked on to you because you're easy prey. You can't be a failure in the kingdom. God didn't bring failures into the kingdom. He brought saints into the kingdom. He brought us into what Peter says, royal priesthood. So we're royal priests. We're a chosen generation, called out of darkness into his life. There's no failure in that. And if you have a mentality of failure, you're out of bounds again. So this. And that reflects in doing things for the kingdom. Especially fear. Now, we all deal with it because fear does not... Your spirit man's perfect, so your spirit man has no fear. Adam has tons of it. Christ man has none of it. It would be wonderful if we were just, this guy was gone from us. Right? Flesh, come on, old man. We'd all love that, and it would all be wonderful. But what happens is when this stuff, I don't know if I'm heading where you want me.
I just wanted to bring that up.
So. Yeah, and so what happens is when this spirit now, communication comes, it's coming from the spirit into our spirit man, and then it's getting into our head. And into our soul, because this is always spirit to spirit. God is never communicating with this guy because this guy would never listen to him anyway. As one of my mentors said, you can't cast out your Adamic nature. It's impossible. It ain't going anywhere. "Well, I've got anger, cast it out of me." It ain't going anywhere. Because that's part of Adam. Hello? No, that's another teaching. So, you know, when it says in Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why didn't he say God just didn't give us fear? He doesn't say that. A spirit of fear. But of what? Power, love, and a sound or well-disciplined mind. So is this guy going to rear his ugly head? I'll tell you, when you start moving towards doing something for the kingdom, Satan is going to go right after Adam and put thoughts in your head right then and there at that juncture. Why? He doesn't want you to get what I'm teaching you. Because you can give one word. Jesus gave one word of knowledge to a woman at a well in Samaria, and it caused a Samaritan revival. One word. You've had five husbands, and the husband with you're with is not yours. Oh, I perceive you are a prophet. Well, part of that language means I perceive you are the Messiah. So you always are going to deal with this, because this is a natural part of natural man. Because don't forget, you're transitioning what? From living your whole life naturally to the rest of your life spiritually. And as you start to live spiritually, then you become naturally supernatural or naturally spiritual. Man, isn't that fun? And it's not for a select few. To each one. Yes?
So, in a nutshell, the definition of living or moving in the spirit, like you just said, is what? I mean, is that praying in tongues often? Is that what?
No, it's the communication. It's the on earth as it is in heaven. It's the communication between the kingdom and God and you, so God can move you just like he did Jesus and the disciples, and greater works, it says in John, that you will do because I go to my Father.
But practically, how does that happen?
It happens through your relationship and with the Holy Spirit and this. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue agape. Pursue love and desire hot, zealous passion, spiritual gifts. This means this life is not mine. It's been created to serve others. Agape is looking at somebody and taking that person to the highest level that God allows you to take them. This is my relationship with my wife. It's way beyond what I thought I could ever get. It bounces back and forth, and as it bounces back and forth, it just gets deeper and deeper. Why? Because we're serving each other. We have the interests of the other party more interested in the other party than in ourselves. And to do what I can do to edify and build up my wife. Whatever I can do to edify and build, that's my mission. Her mission is exactly the same. And that's this kind of relationship of love that we're supposed to have in the church towards others. There has to be a desire to move the kingdom. The second thing is desire is a zeal. Why did he use desire spiritual gifts? Well, whenever we do this in a church, we want the power of God, but we don't want the warfare that goes with the power. Because wherever there's power, there's warfare. The anti is always there. You better have hot zeal so when you get smacked, you're up again. You're up the next morning saying, is that all you got? Is that your best? I can't tell you the number of times saying, the heck with this, I'm not ever doing ministry the rest of my life. Yeah. I was at Bible school and I got on all sorts of hot water because we got in the poor people in class prayers. There was another guy who was prophetic in the class, and the people in class prayers would try to have their meetings. It was more like a business meeting. And then I'd be sitting over here, he'd be sitting over here, and we'd look at each other and we already knew it was over for them. So we'd start praying for people. And one time I was praying for somebody and I took off, I had my coat on. We had the tie from hell and the jacket from hell. We had to wear those two. And I took off my coat and I put it on a guy, and it was symbolic of the Elijah anointing. Well, they didn't understand that at the school, and I got called into the dean's office. And he said, well, we have to be careful about that stuff. And I'm thinking, here the Holy Ghost is telling me to do this. Now, Holy Ghost, you got me in trouble because you told me to do this. And I said, the heck with this. So I went home and I gave myself an edict. Nobody's ever given edicts around here, have you? Okay, I gave myself an edict and I said, the heck with any of them, I'm not moving in the Spirit again. And the heck with you, God, I ain't moving in the Spirit again. I was all churned up and I said, fine, you don't want to see the manifestation of God's Spirit, good luck. I'm done. Get up next morning, go there. I pull in the driveway, walk into a room, somebody walks by me, and I just went on autopilot. And from that morning till late in the evening, I wound up praying for about 25 or 30 people. And then the Holy Ghost said, how's that working for you? You know, it was like, you're going to do it anyway. Why? Because I know you better than you know yourself, especially when you're telling me you're not going to do it. I know you are. And that comes from this. If I didn't have this, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd have no record of 30 years worth of this. I'm reaping the rewards of 30 years of having stones thrown at me for what I believe about the first century. Now I'm reaping the reward of all those years where I am right now in this place. Yes. I love that term, a recovering Pharisee.
I can understand, you know, you're raised in a church and you're taught to read the Bible and to learn what people did, how to follow God.
Right.
And so now we're talking about this very different way of living spiritually, yes, with God, moment by moment.
Yes.
And so I think, if I'm understanding what you're talking about, which is something as a linear thinker I think too, is what does that look like when I get up in the morning and I open my Bible? Does that mean I am saying, you know, Holy Spirit, lead me in this, show me what to do? Just asking more all of the time what I'm supposed to be doing?
Yes. And we have, and you know, if you're asking for a fish, he's not going to give you what?
A snake. Right?
Right.
Right.
I'll give you one to try. Get up in the morning, tomorrow morning, and say, thank you, Lord, for these three gifts. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. You're going to ask the Lord for those three gifts, and they're coming to you. Why? Because you're going to touch a lot of women, and I see your hand going down into their spirits, and you're grabbing the garbage inside of them, and you're pulling it out. Because he's going to take the supernatural and your linear thinking, and he's going to combine them, and it's going to be very powerful. I love this stuff. I can do that. Does that minister to you?
Yeah.
Huh? Huh? See, you already have the wisdom of God. He's already brought you out of bondage. And oh, there's more. I see you, and you're on steps, and there's three steps. And each step represents a higher anointing that God's going to use you in. So there's going to come a point where you're going to actually feel the upgrade. Then you're going to move on to the next step, and then you're going to feel the upgrade there, and then you're going to move on to the next step, and you're going to feel the upgrade there. You watch it happen. Anybody else? Yes? Discerning of spirits. It's not discernment. Anybody can have discernment. You don't have the gift of discernment, you have discerning of spirits. You've taught that. We'll teach it again sometime, right?
Yep.
We'll teach it. He'll teach it again. But those are three gifts. Word means a communication between you and God. Wisdom is thinking like God, or insight into God's divine purposes, usually has to do with things future. Word of knowledge is some part of God's knowledge to you, and it usually deals with things past or present. Discerning of spirits means human spirit, angels, demons, Holy Spirit. You're able to discern what's going on in every one of those situations, if God shows you.
One thing more on that question you were asking. The way I, something that helped me in thinking about this, what your question was in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where it talks about be transformed by the renewing of your mind and present your body as a living sacrifice. And those to me spoke about denying my carnal way of thinking, or changing my thinking so that it matches the way God looks at situations. And so if the Bible says something about me, for example, but I don't feel like that's true, I have to convince myself by whatever means it works for me to believe that that's true rather than believe how I feel.
Excellent.
So a practical example of that with me was struggling with feeling condemned, but when it clearly says in Romans 8:1 that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, so I'm not condemned no matter what I feel like. So I have to make those feelings obey God's word. However, so the way I did that practically was I would look in the mirror and tell myself that this is the truth. You are not condemned. Or I would say, the Spirit of God lives in that man in the mirror. And he doesn't leave. I would convince myself of things like that. But it would be a way to make my mind align with God. And in things that are in his word that are clear.
Declaration is first principle, first law, first spiritual law. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without form or void. You all know that one? And it says, and the Spirit was hovering above the waters, or fluttering like a dove. That's what hovering means, fluttering like a dove. And God said, let there be light, and the Holy Ghost created the light. God what? Said. And what he is saying, boy, I'm glad you used that. I'm saying, Lord, make sure he says that word. You declare the word over yourself. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But what you don't know is you're doing a God act when you declare his word, so you have to get the results of what you say. Because the word is designed like that, not your emotions or your feelings. I can't give you any greater principle than this. Or he can't give you, or we can't give you. Why? Because you declare things. Well, I don't feel like I love my wife. Feelings have nothing to do with marriage. Principle has something to do with it. Then the feelings come. Because your feelings can be all Adam natured. I declare that. You're no good, Bill. I am the righteousness of God. The word says it. And then I convince myself that I convince myself about what God says about me, not what anybody else has ever said to me. Amen. I was 15. I was, first time I drank a can of beer, I drank 15 cans. went home, threw up, got up the next day and said, boy, that wasn't that fun. And then that was a ride. Just, you know, flunked ninth grade, got in trouble all the time. My father used to say to me, you're a bum, you're no good, you're not going to be anything. He was frustrated with me. Guess what? He's prophesying over me. So I just go into the bar room and drink more, and the more I drank, the more I feel sorry for myself, and the more I feel sorry for myself, the more I drank. I was void of the Word. Then when I started getting the Word in me and I see how God felt about me, it doesn't make any difference how anybody feels about you except the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe. Yes. And he used the word transformed. You know what transformed is in the Greek? It's metamorphi, which is where we get our term metamorphosis, where we get the condition of a caterpillar going into a butterfly. And that's what happens in this process. When you renew your mind, when you say, this is what God says about me, this isn't what anybody else says about me. And don't you dare in your mind, when Satan puts those thoughts in your mind or somebody else tells you you're no good, don't you receive it. Or tell him to go check it out with a Creator who says that's not me. I feel good, boy.
Don't repeat it either.
Yes.
Because I feel like the enemy is fighting for stage presence. He's fighting to.
That's a good term. I love it.
He's constantly feeding you these things about you're no good or whatever. Like, the enemy is constantly wanting you to declare what he's telling you. And so these thoughts come and they come out of your mouth. So you're agreeing with the enemy when that happens. And you just need to reject that.
And
I've had the total opposite. I've been flattered, and so I started thinking about myself instead of Jesus.
Yeah. And I see, and the other thing that happens is I watched her physical and spiritual transformation. And what happens is once you go through it, guess what? There's more authority coming out of your mouth when you've gone through it. See, we don't like seeing anybody get abused by the devil. We hate it. But sometimes we have to watch it happen because the person refuses to hear the Word. And it's sad. Okay, if your prophecy, when we have prophecy and somebody gives you a word, and one of the things I liked, a while back I was in this room, they're having a men's breakfast, and I had a word for somebody. It was a fairly lengthy word, and it was a word that was important, and because it was a ministry gift word. And I started talking to the guy, and he said, wait a minute, can I get my iPhone out and record this? So a lot of times when a prophetic word is coming, there should be in the room, and I know from my meetings that were in my home and stuff, I could always have scribes in the room. So if all of a sudden I did what I did to these two right here, that somebody was writing it down, so you'd have that word. And this word will be on tape so you can hear it if you forget it. And you don't want to forget what's spoken by the Lord. Yes, Joanne. What?
I wrote it down.
Oh, you did. Good. She wrote it down. And so what you want to do is you want to be able to get in some kind of thing on that, because if God is speaking, it's important.
Yeah, that's right.
Say it again. If we don't treat prophecy in the corporate setting any differently. If something comes through on the Word, you're not supposed to be yawning through it. It is the Most High speaking through the mouth of a person. So when we're giving prophecy, whether that's coming by the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge, and we're saying something to somebody and it's a confirmation, you want to make sure you write it down and have it scribed or have something. So some of you that meet in your rooms and stuff, somebody always have a pad and a pencil or your iPhone. And if somebody comes up to you, record it on your iPhone. Because you have it. That's modern technology. When you're praying for somebody, prayer team people and other people that pray for people, You never go by facial expressions. If I thought whether this message was penetrating by the faces I see, I would have left 30 minutes ago. Because you all look like deer in headlights or the porch lights on and nobody's home. You're all just sitting here like this. So you don't do that. You're not there to find out the results of what you speak. Let me say it again. You're never there to find out the results of what you speak. You're just a delivery messenger. You're not supposed to go home with a person or call them up that night to find out if the word was ever given. And they took hold of it. Did you remember that word I gave you? Is it really working? No, your job is done the minute your mouth shuts. Well, what if they don't get it? Doesn't make any difference. The postman can deliver somebody a check from Publishers Clearing House, and he can also deliver a foreclosure. But he doesn't go into the house to find out what's going on. You deliver the mail, you don't get involved in it.
So, and you're not responsible for whether someone receives it or not.
No.
That's not on your plate. That's not on you.
Right. And there's times, and I can tell you, and this is not normal for the pastoral ministry, but it is for the prophetic. Sometimes people come to us for prayer, and it's totally negative to them. But it isn't really negative. It's God trying to make some spiritual adjustments in them, some chiropractic work. Because sometimes somebody will come up to me and they go, well, and I go, well, this is what the Lord's saying. And they go, what? No, I said, this is what the Lord's saying. And what they don't want to do is hear what I'm saying. But I'm not responsible for that. I'm just responsible for delivering the message, not what I'm supposed to do after that. And that's very important when you speak for God. Yes, Kathy? Okay. And she brings up a good point, and I learned this years ago. It's called the Samson anointing. Just because God uses you doesn't mean he approves of what you're doing. And the trick of the enemy is because you're anointed by God, then you go out and do some stupid Adam thing. You all know what I'm talking about? And you think, well, I did that, and it didn't affect my anointing. Wrong. Because eventually it will. And so the more that you can restrict Adam from his behavior, the better off you're going to be. But you also have to watch out, because just because God uses you doesn't mean he approves of everything you do. And the danger is you wind up like Samson, who could kill 1,000 soldiers with the jawbone of an ass and then go sleep with a prostitute. Eventually it catches up to you. Keep your own personal emotions out of the way when you're praying for people. And keep their emotions out of the way, because if you get caught in their emotions, you'll miss the word of the Lord. And I know there's people in here that are compassionate, that are on prayer teams, and you have great empathy for people. But you got to get your emotions out of the way. And sometimes you're not specifically, and this is easier, I think is easier for me, because I've been doing it for so long that, the movies just come real fast. And in fact, I've seen the speed in which God's giving me vision now has been increased. I felt a couple of days ago another upgrade in my vision stuff. So it gets better. It always gets better with God. Always gets better. Remember, always gets better with God. But a lot of times what happens is, somebody will come up. Somebody will come up and they'll start bawling in front of you, and they'll go, "The devil has been doing this, and the devil's been doing that." And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says to you, "That isn't the devil. That's me trying to purge them because they have a hard time hearing." Are you going to give them the word? Yeah, you are. Why? Because you're not there to pray for what they're bringing to you. You're there to listen to God. You can take into consideration prayer team, when people come up in the Hope Chapel in the services, you're there to pray for them, but you also are there to listen while they're speaking. Can you do that? Absolutely. They're speaking to you in the natural and you're listening in the spirit. Even with your friends. What's the best way you can help a friend? Tell them what they want to hear or tell them what they don't want to hear. If they're your real friends, you can get a word from the Lord that'll transform their lives in a matter of seconds when you're in tune to listening to the voice of the Holy Ghost. Are you with me? You're not there to fix anybody when you pray for people. You're there to deliver a message from God. Now, sometimes you'll get a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge from the Lord, but most of the time, it's also good that you know Scripture, because if you know Scripture, you can run your computer up here will run an instantaneous scan, is what they're saying biblical. Life is not in emotions, life is in principle. And when we do principle first, the emotions all fall in line. Are you all with me?
Sorry, well, I don't understand. What do you mean principles?
Principles are like laws or physics. I call them gravitational principles.
So is that the word of God?
Here, Andrew, come here. Andrew, yeah. I want an athletic guy. Andrew, get up on the chair and jump down.
Jump up and down?
No, just jump off. All right, do it again. Do it again. All right, now this time get on the chair, and when you jump off, remain in the air. Go. Do you love God?
I do.
You believe angels surround you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Did he still go down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the first principle.
Do I sit down now?
Yes. Yeah. I like him. All right. So wait, and this is helping you with your freedom. This is trying to help you with your freedom. Because this is the heart of God. The heart of God is he wants you to be the most happy people on the face of the earth. Because when you're happy, you demonstrate the glory of God. It's a manifestation of glory when you walk into a place and everybody's frowning and you're going like this. And they're wondering why. Or somebody does something and you go, oh, that's not going to bother me. And you're not screaming on the phone or you're not slamming your horn on somebody. Why? Because in the light of eternity, that 2 seconds doesn't mean anything to you because you're already living forever anyway, right?
Amen.
You're already in eternity. Y'all understand that?
Yes.
You don't have to ever be in a hurry again because time means nothing to you. You're already in eternity. You're already in it. You're already going to live forever in the kingdom of God. It's your zip code that's going to change and that's all. Isn't it great? What was I talking about?
Well, John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternal life, and that's already started.
I forgot what I was talking about, but it's all right. Oh, okay. So the Holy Spirit, that's why, thank you, God. And she handles all my names and all the history of people. She's very good at that. So don't be, if you've come up to me and you know, I forget Susan's name. Don't get angry at me, because if I didn't see her for a month, I'd probably forget her name. That's just the way it is. I'm not declaring it over myself, because I'm phone numbers I remember. Now I'll work on God declaring names out of me. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I won't do that again. So what happens is the Holy Spirit can only respond to the Word of God. So when you declare the Word of God, he'll respond to it. When you declare your Adam nature, he'll go for a coffee. Because I am convinced there's coffee in heaven. That's why he came to live in you. He's waiting for one. He's waiting for God to say something to him to activate in you. Two, he's waiting for you to believe what you read in the Word, because if you believe it and declare it, he will act on it, because he can only act on the Word. And number three, he lives in you so that what you declare he can activate. And Jesus cast out the spirits with a word. When I talk to demons, when I give them permission to talk, I tell them to go. That's it. And to go. Receiving or judging prophecy or what people say to you. And it's important that you don't just let anybody pray for you. Amen. And that's why I like what Brian did several weeks ago when, and I don't know if how many of you picked this up, but what I liked about Brian was he was up there and he was actually during the service asking people to pray for people, and he said, "You that know this person and are friends with them." And I thought that was right on the money. Because you just don't want strangers to come and pray for you.
Why?
Because you don't know what they're carrying. You don't know if they're into New Age. You don't know what's going on. You don't know whether they're a false prophet or not.
Witchcraft. Or
manipulators.
They have a spiritually transmitted disease.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't have to get super worried about this. Now, I didn't say that to stop you after the service gathering in groups and praying for people, but you'll find out that has worked very well, because most of you are in this. You know, you can tell there's a higher level of spiritual maturity in here. And even if you broke into groups of four or five, there's usually, from what I know about this group, there's going to be somebody there that's going to be able to pick up something that's wacky.
It's always etiquette to say, "I feel like I have a word for you."
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't know why.
You don't need to.
No.
You see, you don't get involved mentally with what God tells you. We're rationalists, so every time God says something to us, we want to know why. That doesn't work in the kingdom. God isn't a rationalist. He's a spiritualist. Not in the bad word, but you know what I mean. Three sources to judge. We're almost finished. Three sources to judge. Is this from the Holy Spirit? Is this from the human spirit? Or is this from a demonic spirit? The prophet or prophetic people that exercise their gifting in the local body must be submitted to church leadership and should be part of the body to speak into the body. And whether or not, you know, I get some people that say, "Look, I don't want to be that's controlling, and I want to speak some things, but I'm not allowed to." Then, you know, you need to go to the Holy Spirit and ask if that's the place you ought to be. You need to be somewhere where your anointing can jettison. You need to be somewhere where the power of God is moving and you can see the ability, you can see the life that's in that place, because you can't reproduce in a field where there's death. You can't grow in death. You can become root bound. I have a friend, I was teaching on legalism and law and control and all that one day, and it was just set up by the Holy Ghost. And I was talking about how legalism builds a fence around the Word. This is the Word of God. And when legalism and traditions get in that have nothing to do with the Word, they create a fence around the Word. The fence is there to keep you in, and the fence is there to keep others out. And I'm doing this, and she says, I'll be back next week. I got a picture. She brings in a picture, and in this picture, she has a garden wall like this with a raised, it's a raised platform. It's only about 2 feet like this, and it's like a curved garden wall that goes around like this. And she's got an upper flower bed or garden up here on the in the raised garden, and right in the middle is this tree coming out, and it's going like this. Huge. Right underneath it, there's this little pot. And in the little pot, there's a little thing about comes up about 1 or 2 inches above the pot. It was the same plant. One was held in legalism and became root-bound and couldn't grow. The other was planted in freedom and grew to what it was designed to grow to. If you're supernatural, you can't be in a building where it's non-supernatural and think you're going to change the building. Never's worked, never will work. I'm just about done. When somebody, and this can happen, when somebody gets up and gives a word that's condemning or judging in a public place, that word needs to be addressed before the person leaves the building or the people. Because sometimes if somebody got up and started saying something that wasn't completely God, are you understanding what I'm saying? And there's 600 people in the building and they think that's a word of God and leadership does not address it immediately, all 600 of those people can walk out thinking it's a word from the Lord. And sometimes that can get a little sticky. Are you with me? Or leadership can pull that person aside later and ask them about that word and see if they have a teachable spirit. And if they have a teachable spirit, then maybe they're willing to let leadership clarify that the next week. And if they don't have a teachable spirit, then you silence them. And you still bring it up because you don't want anybody walking out of there that doesn't understand what was said and is not a thus saith the Lord. See, the false prophets in the Old Testament would say they were speaking for God, and God would say, they're not speaking for me. Not every thus saith the Lord is the Lord. One of the things that's very important that is a rarity in my life to ever see is it's important to have an apostolic ministry in the church. Because the apostolic ministry will welcome the other four gift mixes and feel non-threatened by their functions or their anointings. And that is only going to enhance all the rest of what the book of Ephesians in chapter 4 says about the fivefold ministry. Whatever is spoken must be judged and tested. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. So when the prophets traveled through the churches, they might have a word, but there might have been one word that was more important than the other one, so that word would be the one that would be the word that would go forth. So every word is judged, whether it's judged by the prophets or it's judged by discerning of spirits. Every word must be tested. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 to 22. You can write this down. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Despise really means to hold an evil. Quenching is like having a flaming fire and taking a bucket of water and dousing it. That's the Greek language for quench. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Sometimes your words can be in error, but that does not disclude you from prophetic ministry. Every once in a while, God will humble us by thinking we got something and we don't. That happens to me. Every once in a while, I call something wrong. But it's not the end of the world. Are you understanding? Now, if you get up and give a word to somebody and none of them are true, maybe that's not your gifting. Here's another chapel story service. We were doing chapel service and 11:15 this guy would get up and give a tongues and interpretation. Then the next day came and 11:15 he got up and gave another church interpretation. Then the third day he got up and gave a tongues and interpretation, and by that time I was a senior and I had a full authority to do what I wanted to at Bible school by my senior year because God proved my ministry gifting. In fact, if you missed class in Bible school and you said you were with me, it was a legitimate excuse because you might have fallen out or couldn't make it or something. So I walked up to the dean and I said, you need to handle this or I'm going to. And so he got all upset and went and talked to the guy because it wasn't a word from the Lord. You understand? It was just him trying to be spiritual. Never do something to look or act spiritual. You know why? Because you already are spiritual. You don't need to prove anything. Questions? Yeah.
You said not to let people pray over you that you don't know.
Now, right.
We have gone out to pray over other strangers, and we do ask permission.
There you go.
Is that okay?
Yes, because why? Because you what? Ask permission. Okay, receiving words from prophets or prophecy on an individual basis, you should look for the following. Number one, and we're going to end with this. Does this person have a valid prophetic ministry, or what is said, does it confirm to you something that God is already doing in you or brings a confirmation to what's already happening? Number two, if I am unsure about what is said to me, then have someone I trust be. If I'm unsure of the person and this person wants to give me a word, it's also advisable if you have the opportunity to have somebody else there with you to hear it. And you want to watch out for people that try to split husband and wives. You wouldn't believe what goes on in Christianity sometimes. I'm never surprised by what Christians do. If possible, have the message recorded or scribed. Number four, realize that if it does not make any sense, it doesn't mean that it won't come to pass. Just because you don't understand, that doesn't mean that God isn't going to bring it into reality. So go home, write it down, put it somewhere, and let it go. If God is going to make what is that true, it will happen one way or the other. Are you with me? Many a times I've given a word to a person and they thought I was nuts, and then 5 or 6 months later they came back and you said, you know that word you spoke over me? Well, it happened. How do we know? If it happens, it's God. Number five, every true predictive word will eventually happen. Did I tell the Groton, Connecticut story about the baby in the room? I'm doing a service up in Groton, Connecticut. That's the one where the angel helped that lady walk that day. And I'm on my way out in the last part of the service, and I'm walking by, and there's this girl, and she's standing up against the wall like this, and she's just standing there, because they always give me the look like, please don't let him talk to me or something, you know, because you always think there's something going on there that when there really isn't. And so I walked by her and I went like this. I'm walking out and I said, "Oh, by the way, you're going to have a baby and it's going to be a girl." I just left. Well, she couldn't have children. It was impossible. So a year and a half later, the pastor picks me up from Bradley Field in Connecticut, and we're driving back to the church, and he said. You know, when you said that, they all knew that you were a prophet, so they went in and they did the babies. She got pregnant, and they went, and the minute she got pregnant, which it was impossible to do, why? It's only impossible for humans, but with God, all things are possible. You got to remember that. Don't get into thinking about what God can and cannot do. He can do anything He wants to do. She got pregnant, and they went in, and they did the room in pink. When she found out that she was pregnant, they ran in and they did the room in pink. And I'm sitting there in the car and I'm sweating because I don't want them to say, was it a boy? They had more faith than I did, and I'm the one that gave the word. And I said, was it a girl? And they went, yeah. Does the word given to you fit within? And I'll be very careful how I use this word. The context of Scripture. And what I mean that, it doesn't, whatever somebody says to you does not have to be verbatim to a Scripture verse. Now, I know some people that just prophesy Scripture verses. It's tremendous. But it has to fall within the context of the fullness of Scripture. So you're not going to give something that sits outside of Scripture. You can never give prophecies that talk about the future that are set outside of what the Bible says the future is. That's a no, 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 no. And there's some of that going on TV. And they're not speaking for God. So,
question?
Yes. Well, they're only books. They're only, well, I can't judge by what I haven't read. So I don't think I can fully answer your question. I'd have to read it to be able to say that. And I would want to see it in the light of what Jesus is talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're saying it just has to match up with Scripture.
Has to match within the context or the the aroma of Scripture. Do you understand the aroma of Scripture? God won't contradict Himself. Any other questions? This is going to end the prophetic thing, so if you have a question about it, ask me now. Because we have to go in 5 minutes. So those of you who have children, if you want to leave. Any more?
How much do you think has been lost between the translation?
Zero and none. Zero and none. Nothing's lost in translation. It's called superintendence. When God spoke to the writers in the Bible, He saw you reading it 2,000 years later. There's nothing lost. It's His Word. You don't get anything lost in God's Word. What you're reading is what God put there. Not a problem with me. Any other questions? Yes.
I have a question about people you don't know. Just pray over you.
Yes.
Have you seen like someone have an unclean spirit or something come upon them? If someone
yes. Yes, I've seen other stuff. I had my wife go somewhere a while back, and there's some spirits of infirmity working to where she went. And she came in the house, and I was sitting at the computer, and this isn't the first time. And no, they're all demons. They're all demons at your family reunion. But so. Don't let your mother listen to this tape. No, her mother knows I don't like family reunions. So, and I'm the only Yankee there, so you know. So she came back in the house, and I was sitting at the typewriter, and a computer. We don't have typewriters anymore. I said, computer. And I was sitting at the computer, and she just was laughing and walked by me like that, and all of a sudden I started, my right arm started to go as if I was having a stroke.
And I had just given a hug to one of the relatives who had a stroke. Right.
And I immediately recognized that a spirit of infirmity had jumped off this person and gone on to another person, me. And I immediately bound it and went off into the in tongues, and in about a minute and a half or 2 minutes, it left me. Years ago, I was at a home group, teaching at a home group, and I wound up praying for this lady. This is a true story. This is one of my favorites. I was praying for this lady, and she fell down, and I realized, if you have children, please go. But and she fell down, and she fell out in the spirit, and I started binding the generational spirits of fear that were on her family. And as I did, she got set free. And then I got up, and I'll show it to you so you can see this, and we'll end on this, maybe. We'll see. Who knows what the Holy Ghost is going to do. When you walked into her house, this was her front door, like this, and this was a wall coming up that opened into a kitchen that went down into the living room like that. And this was like a half wall right here. So here's the door, the entrance to the house. And so she was sitting about here. Well, actually, this is gone. It sort of opened up into the kitchen over here, and then the living room was right all through here. The living room would actually go up like that. But there was this half wall coming up that acted as a separator. You all with me? So she's sitting right here, and she's out, and I'm praying for her. And then I start walking over, and I wind up over here, and I'm standing here by the wall, and I just sense that I was supposed to walk over there, and then I see through the wall in the spirit, and there's a demon here, and he's got a coat on, like a top coat, and he's standing there, and my friend Tucker is over here, and he's getting ready to leave, and he lived in High Point, so he had a trip home, and he's over here by the kitchen table, like here. And I hear this demon say, I think I'll go home with him. Which is really cool, seeing through walls, just like Superman. It was really cool. And then I turn around, and it's freaking people out. I turn around like this because I'm seeing him on the other side. And I get off into the spirit, and I point my finger at the wall, and I said, in the name of Jesus, you are not allowed to go home with him. You turn, and you get out of here, and you get out of this territory, and never come back. You have no authority over this guy. You are not allowed to do this. And they're all looking at me like, what happened to him? And he took off out the door.
And the principle you used was Matthew, and all the intercessors know this, Matthew 18:18, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so you began to declare, and you gave, you used your authority as a believer. You used your authority as a believer.
Look, do you have any idea how mighty you are?
Yes. And if you don't, and this is what I feel led to do and pray for, is people need to get Ephesians chapter 1 in your spirit.
Yes.
Put your name in there. I am of a royal priesthood. I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in the high places. I am redeemed by the blood.
What does it mean in I think it's 19. It says, and the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Exceeding means to throw beyond measure. You have no idea the excellent glory. The glory that was glorious to the people, this is 2 Corinthians 3, 7, read 7 through 18. But the glory that was in the old covenant, the glory that came down into Solomon's temple that the priest could not minister, the glory when the blood was sprinkled and the Lord would come down on the mercy seat, the glory of the Old Testament is nothing compared to the glory that excels living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And gosh, when you get a hold of that, when you understand the anointing that's inside of you, it's way almost unbelievable, but it's true. And that's my heart for you, that you get this person of the Holy Ghost. and you read what the Word says about what the Holy Spirit will do for you, and you embrace it, and you'll start declaring it out of your mouth. You'll put your scriptures on your thing. The things that bother you, the things that the enemy has stolen from you. I was in Haiti, and I was preaching in an open air thing by the sea. It was a resort area, if you can believe there was a resort area in Haiti. Haiti was the pearl of the Caribbean. Haiti was the, if you have to go, go. It doesn't mean, Haiti was the pearl of the Caribbean. It was the most beautiful island in the Caribbean, and they dedicated Haiti in 1799 or something to Satan. And look at it today. And voodoo drums going off all night, and voodoo and witchcraft. And the missionary down there told me, because they don't get as much rain as they used to, and now there's nothing growing because they're taking all the trees down and use them to survive. He said the clouds would come up and come to the borderline of Haiti and stop. And I was sitting down there by the, thank you, Holy Ghost. And I was sitting down there by this rotunda, and I had a translator, and I looked at this young guy who had a family, and I said to him, and I turned around and I said, what would you do if I walked into your house and picked up your child and started walking out the door with him? And the translation basically came back, you'd be a dead man. And then I turned around and I said, is that child your inheritance? Is that child going to be your inheritance? Is he going to have your inheritance? He said, yes. And I said, yet how many of you will let the Holy Spirit come into your house and steal the most precious treasure in what we have as an inheritance that the Bible says we have? And you mustn't let the devil steal your joy. You mustn't let the devil rob you of your anointing. And you need some fire put into you. And then I was so full of the Holy Ghost that I left the rotunda and I walked out in the street and I said, come with me. And I called out all the witch doctors and I said, come on, bring it on right now. I was loaded, man. I wish they had come out. I said, go get your witch doctors. I was looking for a Mount Carmel special. This is what we're trying to do. This isn't just come and sit in a seat. This is for you to realize how much God has invested, not only in His Son dying for you, but has chosen you and put His richest investments into you so you could be His glory. It's powerful. Father, we thank You. Holy Ghost, I ask that You would back up my words. Holy Ghost, I pray this week that those that have never operated in the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or the prophetic, that You would begin to show them as the passion comes out of them. Holy Ghost, I pray and tear down every stronghold that is in this room right now, and that You would show, Holy Spirit, You would show them what needs to go and what needs to stay.